this is synopsis day. I trust all of you brought it with you. I want to start class today by taking a look at two passages of Scripture. Mrs. Young, will you turn to Exodus 22:28? And Mr. McCricker to Leviticus 19:14. 22:28 of Exodus, 19:14 of Leviticus. We were talking about the third commandment, not taking the name of God in vain, and we discovered, I hope, last week that much more is involved in that commandment than meets the eye. And that it is perhaps the most neglected of the commandments. But when you begin to explore it and all the ramifications of what God's name really means, His character, His worship, His work, and all of these things, that it probably is one of the broadest of the commandments. And I want you to see two specific applications now. We talked about there is such a thing as legitimate cursing, calling upon God to punish those that violate His will and oppose His church. But we found out that cursing father and mother, no matter how much of a rascal they may be, is absolutely forbidden under any circumstances. There must be that respect for the source of life. But also, there are two other forms of cursing that are specifically forbidden. Exodus 22:28. Renee, read.
Do not blaspheme God, but curse the ruler of your people.
All right. Now notice the lumping together there, blaspheming God and cursing the ruler of your people. Cursing the leader of our nation is forbidden here in this particular verse. God is the source of government. God is the ultimate source. Doesn't mean that God always approves of everything that the leaders do. But government is ordained of God, Paul says in Romans. And therefore, the believer is not to curse the one who heads the government. And also then, in Leviticus 19:14, another specific case of where cursing is forbidden. Yes. Read
it. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, and fear your God. I am the Lord.
Alright, now why would somebody curse the deaf? Probably to make fun of them when they're back and they cannot hear you, so people say wicked things about them and take advantage of them. And by extension, of course, this would refer to mockery of anybody who would have a physical handicap. If you're not to curse those who cannot hear you, have this particular physical handicap, the principle underlying that law is that you're not to ridicule or make a butt of jokes or to curse or say something evil against someone who is physically impaired in some way or the other. Let's talk about the blasphemous use of God's name. Definition: slander, reproach, reviling, cursing, or otherwise dishonoring the name, the name or the being or the work of God by word or by action. You can blaspheme by action as well as by word. In the Scriptures, we find it's possible to blaspheme God's name, to blaspheme His character, His works. You blaspheme God's works when you murmur or quarrel about the way He does business, like the Israelites did in the wilderness when they were constantly griping, even though God was their leader. You can blaspheme God's word by misapplying or misinterpreting or in any way perverting God's word. That is a blasphemy against God's word. You can blaspheme God's word by holding it up to contempt or to jest or entertaining unprofitable, stupid questions that are designed to try to ridicule God's word. So it is possible to blaspheme God's works, God's word, and God's worship. And this is probably the most prevalent through hypocrisy, through backsliding, through unfruitful service. Let me ask you something. What if a couple is in a worship service, hugging it up, whispering, talking, very noticeable public display of affection in a worship service, such as I witnessed last night on the part of two of our students? It may be embarrassed. Does that fall in the category of what we're talking about here? How can you worship God when you're basically acting like you're a drive-in theater? So you see, this idea of dishonoring God's name is quite broad, isn't it? Quite broad, extending to anything connected with the Lord. Now, accusations of blasphemy in the Scripture are usually hurled at those who consider the enemies of God's people, but sometimes, unjustly, faithful servants of the Lord were accused of blasphemy. Stephen, for example, and even Jesus was accused of blasphemy. And of course, if Jesus had not been who he claimed to be, he in fact would have been a blasphemer. For a man to claim that he lived before Abraham, or a man to claim that he was Lord of the Sabbath, or a man to claim that he is going to be the final judge of all mankind, if those claims are not true, he is a blasphemer. If I were to make those claims for myself, that would be blasphemy. But of course, the issue is what Jesus is telling the truth. He's telling the truth, not blasphemy. So they were making the right charge, but they simply had not investigated the facts as to whether he was what he claimed to be or not. Now, in the New Testament, this idea of blasphemy or reviling God's name has a further extension. It also extends to reviling Christ or opposing the gospel or bringing discredit upon the Christian faith in any way, shape, or form. And we know from the New Testament there is such a thing as the sin that cannot be forgiven, the unpardonable sin, which is called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And we'll take as long as we have in this class to look at that. In a nutshell, it seems to me that the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit boils down to deliberately God's saving work. If you deliberately repudiate God's saving work, then you are hardening yourself against the impact of the gospel, cutting yourself off from any possible hope of salvation. So that's why it cannot be forgiven. If you commit the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, they're cutting themselves off from any hope of salvation. Now, the penalty for violating this third command, in Exodus 20, verse 7, the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. To hold guiltless means to acquit or to leave unpunished. God will not leave unpunished anyone who misuses his name. Now, the Hebrew word rendered guiltless here may better be translated clean. The Lord will not hold him to and takes his name in vain. So the basic test of cleanliness in God's sight is how you relate to your spiritual name, to God's claims, to God's word, to God's person. You're judged as clean or unclean according to our use of his name. Now, Leviticus 24, there's a specific case related to one who blasphemes the name of God. Case, Moses was specifically cut, the man was to be executed. We also have a case, specific law concerning one who curses his father and his mother. Again, death is the penalty. For to curse your father and mother is an attack against the fundamental structure of society that were made by God. It's a fundamental attack against God. That their parents are the representative of God in the form of the leader of the person's life.
happen.